And now the game where somebody works really hard on something difficult and then gets to not care about something ridiculous. It's called Not My Job. Gillian Flynn is a very nice woman who writes books about very unpleasant people. Her mystery thriller, Gone Girl, was a number one New York Times bestseller. We are delighted to have her with us here in the Chase Bank Auditorium. Gillian Flynn, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. So you've written three books, all of which were bestsellers, being made for the movies, all deeply twisted thrillers about murderous, strange people. And you're just sitting here smiling at me like the nicest person in the world. What has drawn you to that kind of story?
You know, I always loved thrillers. I always loved scary movies, and my dad was a film professor, and I mean, I had very early memories of, you know, that top-loading VCR and like, we're going to watch Psycho. Funk. Mm. And I mean, I had a crush on Norman Bates. He was one of my first crushes, so.
I'm sorry. Norman Bates, of course, is the murderer, as we find out. I'm sorry if I spoiled that for you. In Psycho, played famously by Anthony Perkins. And we're watching the movie, and we're all the rest of us, human beings, are like, oh, he's a scary, obviously twisted individual. And you're like, he's dreamy.
He was so...
Really?
He was so handsome. He cooked. He made her a sandwich.
Wow.
Your first book was about a really bad mother-daughter relationship. This third book, Gone Girl, is about a really horrible marriage. And I'm sure you have people ask you all the time if, like, you're okay.
Everyone knows it's just kind of fiction. I feel like I spend about my first 20 minutes at any cocktail party convincing people that I'm not going to harm them in some way.
Really?
Yeah, you know, I really, you know, I'll like, here, have a drink. They're like, no. No.
I'm good.
One of the things that, and I want to be very, very careful, but there is a very, because I don't want to give anything away, there's a very smart criminal who plots a really perfect crime. And obviously, to write that person, you have to do that, right? You have to be able to plot. You, as the author, have to plot a perfect crime. So do you ever sit around and, like, get rudely served by a barista and go, I could kill you and I'll never be caught?
I'll see you tomorrow night. I actually really do think I could do it. I really think.
Really?
Yeah, I really do.
So if I said to you, I mean, I don't. I just want to say, okay, Ira Glass. If I wanted to kill Ira Glass, and I'm not saying I do because he's a nice guy, but let's say I did.
You're giving me like a signal, like a code.
Yeah,
I'm
touching the cleft
worst,
in my chin.
I have the worst feeling that we're going to be listening to this tape like as evidence in a trial. You know.
One of the things about the book that I love is something that maybe I'm dumb. I don't read enough mysteries, but all the characters in your book, as they go through this disappearance and this crime and this investigation, are constantly saying, oh, this is just like on TV.
Yep.
Characters start thinking about how they're going to play the role that they know they're going to play in the drama they've seen before.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's like, how does the accused husband act in this? At a certain point, he's just trying to figure out what to wear. You know, what do you wear when you're a grieving husband to the press conference? Because
I think you'd have to do that, right?
If
I am unjustly accused of a crime, how should I behave? Just in case it happens. Okay. Just in case Ira does die soon.
Just for instance.
Which I will have nothing to do with.
I saw the wink again.
You did. But how should you behave?
Well, I think like a short sleeve button down would be the proper thing to wear.
So go for the dork
Why?
Look right
yeah.
away.
I just think it's a nice harmless look. It's sort of like I'm casual. I may kill. I may have not killed.
Flower.
But But I'm comfortable.
Short sleeve.
Like, floral pattern, like I'm celebrating and.
Yeah, I'm feeling good.
No.
I'm
you're
partying, bro.
Mas, you got like umbrella drink.
Not quite a Hawaiian shirt. Yeah, no.
She's going
like
more,
a plaid.
More
like
pocket
a plaid.
Protector, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But not with a tie.
Yeah. No.
That's
no.
too formal.
Oh
yeah.
no, a tie yeah, no. says did it.
Exactly. You want to be relaxed.
You never see like a male defendant in a tutu. And I think it would just throw people enough that they might get off. Can I ask you a question? When you do this writing, how do you do it? Do you get up? Like, do you have a, you know, do people call in the middle of the day and you go, I'm working? Do you not answer the phone? Do you start at a certain time and end? How do you discipline yourself to have all those ideas come together on a piece of paper?
Well, I'm a writer, so I do like the distraction. So I will always pick up the phone if you call me. It's like, oh, what's going on? I can stop writing for a while.
Right. Do you start at a certain time during the day? Start writing?
I really do try to do kind of 9 to 5.
Paul, are you trying to find out when Gillian is home?
I'm afraid of her.
I understand.
I just want to make sure that we're safe.
So, Gillian... You live here in Chicago, which we're very proud of, your fellow Chicagoans, that you're here with us. Now, have you ever, like, because this is a huge bestseller, and I was seeing it everywhere. Have you ever gotten on a train, CTA, say, here in Chicago, and seen somebody sitting reading your book?
I have never seen the book in the wild yet. Isn't that
really
crazy? No, I try to go around because I would love nothing more than to tap someone on the shoulder and say, you know, how are you liking the book?
Gillian,
Hold on, stop.
Do it with that voice, won't
really?
You?
Would you put your like chin in your hand for the author photo and go hi?
Holding my glasses, kind look, of sort of askew.
Look familiar? Mm-hmm. Do I?
My best friend from childhood was out having dinner, and the woman next to her was reading Gone Girl, and so she said, how are you liking the book? And the woman said, slam. Well, have you read it? You know, I just, all I know is that there is something wrong with the lady who wrote this. And she's like, yeah.
Well, Gillian Flynn, we are delighted to talk to you. And we've asked you here today to play a game that this time we're calling...
Sit right back and you'll hear a quiz.
You're named Gillian, as a Gillian, you're just one G short of being a Gilligan. So we're going to ask you three questions about the classic TV series that no doubt inspired your name, Gilligan's Island. Get two right, and you'll win our prize for one of our listeners. Carl, who is Gillian Flynn playing for?
Gillian is playing for Karen Esty of Columbia, North Carolina.
Give it up for Karen. The music for the show was composed in part by what famous musician? A, John Williams, B, Stephen Sondheim, or C, David Hasselhoff?
I'd like to think it'd be Hasselhoff because of the kind of German influence.
Yes, of course.
But I think I'm gonna go with John Williams.
So John Williams,
the
famous composer.
Theme, yeah.
Yes, you're right,
yeah.
John Williams.
Wow!
Long before he did Jaws and Star Wars and Superman and all those other classics of movie songwriting. He did this. This is, you're about to hear, the original theme song for Gilligan's Island.
To secretaries from USA, sail on a mino this lovely day. A high school teacher is next aboard, all taking trip that they cannot afford. The next two people are millionaires. They got no worries.
It goes on.
Oh, I just want to say that.
The pilot episode was just 25 minutes of that song and then 5 minutes of another. All right. Very good. Here's your second question. After the show became popular in syndication, in the 60s and 70s, a number of sequel TV movies were made, including which of these? A, Gilligan's Island After Dark. B, Footprints When Jesus Walked on Gilligan's Island.
Oh,
or C, The Harlem Globetrotters on Gilligan's Island.
Wow. I absolutely know that one.
That's, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember this. I think that's C, right?
Yeah, The Harlem Globetrotters on Gilligan's Island. It involves the Harlem Globetrotters coming to Gilligan's Island. All right, last question. Let's go for perfect here. Something in the real world was recently named Gilligan's Island after the beloved show. What is it? A, the members-only washroom of Congress. B, a giant floating pile of garbage. Or C, those little free-floating patches of hair some hipsters have on their cheeks.
You know, it sounds a little too on the nose to be the free-floating pile of garbage,
yeah.
But I'm going to go with that.
You're right again.
All right.
The pile of garbage is twice the size of Texas and is called the Gilligan's Island because it's made of trash and will not go away.
Wow.
Carl, how did Gillian Flynn do in our quiz?
Very well, Peter. Three correct answers, so she's a winner.
Congratulations. Gillian Flynn's latest book is Gone Girl. I won't say any more about it, except you should all read it immediately. Gillian Flynn, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
What a pleasure to have you. Ladies and gentlemen, Gillian Flynn.